The reading is from 2 Samuel and the 9th chapter, and the heading in the NIV is David and, now I'm not sure how you say this in English, I say Mephibosheth, but I think you say Mephibosheth, do you? Well, I've got my own teeth, but I'll stick with Mephibosheth if I may for today. It's chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodebar." So King David had him brought from Lodebar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth?" "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table, like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. I must confess, this is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. I think it's a lovely story. It's not as well known as it should be, perhaps. It's a lovely story of a king who is established now on his throne. And that king remembers a promise. A promise and a pledge that he made to his best friend many years earlier. And that means providing and caring for his son, who happens to be crippled, and his family as well. And for me, it's a beautiful story, and it's a lovely illustration of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the covenant of God to redeem and to bless his people. Well, I'll remind you of the story. We've had the reading. I'll go quickly, very quickly through it. David, at last, is king of Israel. He had been anointed by Samuel many, many years previously, but had suffered, as you know, at the hand of Israel's first king, Saul. Saul became jealous of David. He threw his spear at him twice, chased him around the country like a fugitive, so that he was hiding in caves and running away for his life. But later on, of course, Saul died, and David was anointed, at Hebron as king of Judah. And by now, the opposition of some of the others, Abner and Ishbosheth, had passed, and he was king of all Israel. At last, he was king of all Israel, according to the anointing he'd had and the promise he'd had from God through Samuel. And for some, when you become king, it's a chance to put right everything that's happened to you in the process of becoming king. But not David. He didn't forget his past. He didn't forget the friends of his earlier life, especially his best friend. And of course, his best friend was Jonathan. And he'd made a pledge, a covenant, if you like, with Jonathan to care for him and or his family. If Jonathan had died, which had happened, that he would care for any of his family that needed help. And he went out of his way. He made inquiries. He sent out. He found out if there was anybody left of Jonathan's family, of Saul's family, so that he could show kindness. He was looking for an opportunity to show kindness to Jonathan and Saul's family. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? The king looking for an opportunity to show kindness. And he comes across Mephibosheth then. And he's living in Lodebar, about 50 miles away, apparently, from Jerusalem. He was lame in both feet, crippled from an accident when he was 5 years of age. And he has him brought to Jerusalem, brought to the palace. He restores his grandfather's land to him as an inheritance, gives it to him. He arranges for him to dine at the king's table every day. He's invited to the king's table every day to eat. He's one of the family now. He's one of the royal family. And he gives Ziba, Saul's servant, the responsibility of working the land to provide for Mephibosheth. He provides in all ways, everything, for the son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul. What a beautiful story, isn't it? Isn't it a lovely story? And it's a lovely story in its own right, of course. It's history. But I can't help myself but see that it's a picture, it's an illustration, it's an image of the gospel. The gospel of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look first of all at Mephibosheth. Because in Mephibosheth we have a picture of us, we have a picture of mankind in his natural state. He was lame in both feet. And that's why, of course, for him, in those days, that meant extreme poverty. Extreme poverty. He couldn't work. He wasn't able to walk. He wasn't ever going to be a brilliant soldier like his father or his grandfather. He couldn't do those things. Doesn't matter, it wasn't a matter of, did he want to do those things? Did he desire to do those things? Doesn't matter how much he desired, he couldn't. He was lame in both feet. And that meant poverty for him at that time. And it's a picture of mankind now, in his natural state. There are certain things that we cannot do. It's not a matter of desire. It's not a matter of will. We are lame and crippled spiritually so that there are certain things we can't do. We can't love God with all our hearts and all our souls, all our mind and all our strength. Man, in his natural state, can't do it. It doesn't matter if there is some sort of desire there at times. some sort of awareness that this is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. It's not an unreasonable thing that the law of God puts before us. That's not the point. We can't do it. You can't. We can't do it. Because of our sin. Because of our sin. Man is by nature a sinner. And he can't do it. We can't love our neighbor as ourselves. We can't. It's not that at times we want to do it. At times we don't want to do it, of course. At times it's very difficult. But that's not the point. By nature, we're like Mephibosheth. There are certain things we just can't do them. We can't make up for our sins in our own efforts. We can't. And you must be careful, because it's cruel. It's cruel. It could be cruel to tell Mephibosheth, wouldn't it? Come on, get up. Do a day's work. Come on, you can do better than that. He couldn't. He couldn't. He was unable to. He couldn't make the journey even on his own from Lodebar back to Jerusalem, 50 miles. How was he going to make that journey? He must have been carried to be brought before the king. And he's living in Lodebar. I don't know if anybody's got that name on their house. No. Okay. Good. Without pasture. Literally, that's what Lodebar means. It was a barren area. Nothing growing there. A bit of a wilderness. A dry area. No fruit. No growth. No crops. A meager existence was available for those living in that area. Lodebar. And that is the state of man's soul without the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in Lodebar. I don't care where he works, how good his job is, how good his income or her income is, how much wealth, what their earthly surroundings are. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are without God, and our soul is in Lodebar. No pasture, no growth, no fruit, barren. A bit of a dump, I would think, reading between the lines. Lodebar. No great Father to know as Heavenly Father. What we've been singing and worshipping and thanking God for this morning. No big brother figure, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been appointed as our high priest forever. What a meager existence to live without the Lord Jesus Christ as our brother in heaven, the one who is not ashamed to call us brothers, our greatest supporter ever. Who took on flesh like our flesh, who came to our earth, who went through life as we go through life, and who took our sins upon him on the cross. He identified completely with us, our greatest supporter ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an existence to be without him, not to know him, with no hope for eternity beyond the material world. That's man in his natural state. That's us in our natural state as sinners. What happened then? What had happened to Mephibosheth? He had an accident, remember I said, when he was 5 years of age. Actually, he fell. Well, actually, he was dropped by his nurse. The news came that his father and grandfather had fallen at Gilboa. And when the news came back, there was a panic and there was a rush to flee. There was a rush to run away. And in the rush, his nurse who was caring for him must have grabbed hold of him somehow or something, and he was dropped. And that's how probably he broke both ankles or both legs, and he was crippled for the rest of his life. It was from the fall, you see. And we, as mankind, are crippled from the fall. And that fall was the fall in Eden. The fall when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They listened to Satan and they rebelled against God. And that was the fall that has left us crippled by nature. So that we can't love God as we should. We don't know God as we should. We don't reflect him as we should. We don't enjoy him as he should by nature. Because we are sinners. But let's move on to David. Let's move on to the king. There was a line in one of the songs that we sang this morning. Now that I've come to this point, I can't remember it. And I vowed to myself at the time, I'm going to remember that. I've been called by the King of Love, something like that. Not the last song we sang, I think it was the one before that, was it? Do you remember it? That's it. The King of Love has sent for me. Now, I don't know if Matt Redman was thinking of this passage, but it's so appropriate. Mephibosheth was sent for by the king who was determined to care for him. He was determined. See, nothing was going to dissuade him. The King of Love has sent for me. And that's why we come in with David. And David, of course, is a picture of God here. Who seeks whom? It's not Mephibosheth who goes looking for David. It's not Mephibosheth who sends messengers and said, by the way, there's a link. My father and you were great friends, I hear. Could you help me out, please? That's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. The initiative didn't come from Mephibosheth, did it? It didn't. The initiative came from the king. And it's the same with the gospel. The initiative has come from the king. We wouldn't know the love of God in Jesus Christ this morning if it wasn't for his initiative. Not our initiative. Let's be honest. It's his initiative all along the way. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you know when you look back in your life, you can see things that happened. And it was his initiative. His initiative, not ours. Isn't that wonderful? Because that means the gospel and our salvation comes from him, relies on him. So it's certain. It's there. It can't be changed. Can't be taken away. It's from him. It's to him for his glory. It's in him. Everything is from him. So it's wonderful. It's unchangeable. It's like a rock. That's our salvation. That's the love that we know in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the psalmist says, he thinks of me. David in Psalm 40. He thought of me. There we are, it's come out. Yr arglwydd a feddwl amdanaf. I've lasted a good quarter of an hour without breaking out. He thinks of me, the Lord thinks of me. It's not what I, how I can remember. No, he thinks of me. He is provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. He provided for Abraham. He's provided for us. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He's provided a Savior that matches perfectly mankind's need. We can't love God. We're crippled. We can't love God with all our heart. But he came to earth and he did it. He lived as we should have lived. He lived for God, for man, perfectly. He did it. Where we fall, he stood. Where we go away, he stayed on the line. And then he went to the cross. And then he gave himself for us. Then he gave himself for our sins. He took our sins upon himself. Isn't it wonderful? What a gospel. He took everything. Our rebellion, our sin, our failings, our lameness, if you like, on himself. So that whoever believes in him will be free, will be right with God, will have eternal life, will have forgiveness. And there's a calling. The provision is made by David for Mephibosheth. And then he's called. He calls him to come from Lo Debar. He calls him to come out from there and to come to Jerusalem. That's the call of the gospel. Is there anyone here this morning who's still in Lo Debar spiritually? Is there anyone who does not know yet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and God as your Father through the Lord Jesus Christ? There's a call for you. The provision has been made, you see. Everything's been made ready. Come. Come to the King of Love. Come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it lovely? He's coming to an inheritance. He's coming to get back the land that was taken from him. The land that David could have taken for himself, of course. The land that he couldn't work himself, he gets it. And we are called to be heirs of eternal life. We are called to have every blessing in heaven, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is for us. Heaven is for us. Do you realize that? In him. We are joint heirs with Christ. What happened to him will happen to us. He was risen from the dead. He was taken. He ascended. He's going to prepare a place for us. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. Everything is there. We're called to an inheritance. To be a chosen people. To be adopted into the household of God. To be redeemed. To receive the Holy Spirit as a seal. That we are his and he is ours. That we are safe. And to give us a deposit of heaven. And then he was called to dine at the table. I really like this. It's brilliant. Where better for a cripple to be than at a table? Nobody can see his feet. His feet are out of sight. So he's just the same as everybody else around the table, dining with the king and his family. Now that's a picture of how we come to enjoy God in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about our lameness? What about our sin? It's all hidden. It's all out of sight through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is the table, you see. And his righteousness hides everything out of view. Our sin has been put on his name, and his righteousness is put on our name, and we are accepted. We can dine, we can fellowship with God and his family fully through Jesus Christ. And the lameness and the crippleness and the sin, it's out of sight. It's not seen. God doesn't see it. He doesn't look at it. It's gone. It's paid for. It's finished. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It's finished." Do you believe that this morning? Are you enjoying your fellowship with God and with the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? And on the table, well, you can imagine a royal dining table. I don't think it would be chips like I do from the oven, or simple salad and simple pasta. I don't think so, Simon. Just imagine delicacies. Imagine things you've never seen before, perhaps. All exotic types of food, fruit, veg, everything. because through Jesus Christ we enjoy the fellowship of God and the best things that he has for us, the peace of God, which is beyond understanding. The peace of God, peace with God, and the peace of God as well. The joy of God. Rejoice in the Lord. Every day we rejoice in the Lord. The all-sufficiency, the suitability for every need, everything is there on the table in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the table, hides the sin, and he provides the feast. It's all in Jesus Christ. And then he has the servants to work the land and do everything. We have angels who minister. We don't usually see them. We have ministers to minister. And in fact, we're all called to be ministers to each other. What a privilege. We're to minister now to each other. To lead each other into the inheritance that God has for us. Such a privilege. Some time ago, in one of my churches somewhere, there were two sisters, two elderly sisters. And I used to go and see them, of course, from time to time. And right at the beginning, when I came to this area first, they had a coal fire. And I used to go in and they said, "Oh, come to the fire." 6 pieces of coal. Maximum. 6. "Come to the fire." I needed binoculars to see the fire. Well, there we are. "Come to the fire now. Come to the fire. Welcoming." And they were lovely. They were lovely. They really were. And faithful in chapel. Wonderful. Wonderful people. In case I give the impression that I don't think anything of, that's utterly wrong. I could see my breath coming out of my mouth. Indoors. But then they changed from coal. It was too much work. Of course, they were getting older. And they had electric. But electric was expensive, you see. And I know for a fact, I could tell, as I pressed the doorbell, the electric switch would go on. Yeah? "Come in. Come to the fire." There we are. So I thought, well, they must be needy. They're elderly. I'll help them out. So I took them a paraffin heater. It's cheaper. Took some paraffin heater on, and they'd use that sometimes. Because they were poor. They were needy. They were elderly. Until one of them passed away. And left such an inheritance for nobody to have. They had no children. I couldn't believe it. They had a fortune. A fortune. But they lived like mice. See? They had loads of money in the bank. But they lived meagerly, poorly. Now, is that a picture of you and me this morning as a Christian? Are we living up to our inheritance? Are we living up to the provision that's been made for us by God in the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you imagine Mephibosheth saying, "Oh, I'll go back to Lodebar for a few years, I think"? Can you imagine it? I don't think so. It'd be foolish. But we play with the things of the world. We go to other things. We have our little idols. We can wander away. We don't live up to our inheritance, to the provision that's been made for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was all this done for Mephibosheth? Why? Why was David so adamant? Why was he so determined to show such kindness? Mephibosheth himself couldn't believe it, could he? "Why are you doing this to a dead dog like me? What have I got to give to you? I can't do anything for you. My grandfather hated you. What can I do for you? Why?" Well, twice you get the answer in the chapter. The first verse, Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Why was he doing it? Because of the love, because of the relationship, because of the pledge between David and Jonathan. Why are we shown such kindness by God? Because of a covenant in God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A covenant of love which is opened out to include a multitude beyond number from every tribe, language, nation on earth. Because of that covenant, God the Son was willing to come and give Himself, willing to be a servant on earth and to die for us. God the Father promised to raise Him from the dead. There was a covenant made, you see, to give people to Jesus Christ, that people would be given to Him as an inheritance, as a kingdom, and that He would have a kingdom. And to show, to show clearly in Jesus Christ, that in His people, the highest manifestation of divine perfection and the glory of God's grace. To show something brilliant. There was a covenant made between God the Father, God the Son, and it's applied by God the Holy Spirit. Two things for me to leave with you this morning then. We thank God for this chapter. I thank Him for it and for this story, beautiful story. And as an illustration of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, are you in Lodabar or are you in Jerusalem? Where is your soul today? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ or somewhere else? Still lost? Still looking, still in the wilderness. Well, the call is there from the King of Love for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. His speciality is to receive sinners. His speciality is to cleanse those who are not clean. That's His speciality, is to take and to receive whoever will come to Him. And it's all been made ready for us. Have you by grace come to the Lord Jesus Christ already? Do you know something of His call and of His provision and of His love towards us, His abundant love towards us? Are you living up to what He's provided for you? Are you enjoying to the full what He's provided for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's keep our focus on Him. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Let's dine often at the table together and give ourselves for His glory and for His honor. Amen.